It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everyone. And your special guest host for this morning is Shireen Richter, laughter and happiness professor. And welcome to the Happy Hour. This is a place where you can come to find your little hour of happiness. Really, we're living in a world where there is just so much struggle. Financial outlook doesn't look great. Unemployment, crime, load shedding, water shedding, so much negativity that this is a place to get your happy on. We're going to be talking in the next hour about happiness hacks, how to find happiness in a world that doesn't seem on the outside too happy, how to be resilient, how to get yourself stronger inside so that life becomes a happy place for you. We have a very special guest in studio today. Her name is Celine Erasmus, and she is a dietitian but also a professional speaker and writer. And the idea of having her in studio with me today was really based on my own relationship, I guess, with something called food. Food is a happy place. It's a sad place. It's a thing we go to for all different emotions. But really, the most interesting thing for me about food is, on doing some research, I found that there really are foods you can eat that release happy chemicals in the brain. So good morning, Celine.
Good morning, and hello to all the listeners.
And it's wonderful to have you here, and with all your expertise and experience on looking at food in through the years, I thought it would be wonderful to share some ideas with the listeners of foods they can eat to give them more energy when you're feeling low, when you're feeling down. What do you eat? Because, you know, when you're feeling miserable, what do? So many of us, we eat to fill that gap.
Absolutely. I think today we are so time poor and stress rich. And because of that, when we don't have a lot of time and we have a lot of stress, one of the first things that goes out that proverbial window is better eating and making smarter choices.
Absolutely.
But yet, it's like such a bad cycle, because what we choose to eat on has a direct impact on our molecules and our emotions. And so we can either feel happier or sadder depending on what we choose to have for breakfast or what our snack was 2 hours ago. I mean, that's how amazing the body is and the chemistry of food. You can literally eat yourself happy moment by moment.
And we don't really know that, and we do make poor food choices. So, you know, so many people, when they're not feeling good, head for the fridge, head for all the processed foods, carbohydrates, chips, chocolates, wine, and vice versa. When people are happy, then that's also, we use food to celebrate.
Absolutely.
So we go out for dinners. If you look at December, Christmas parties, functions, it's all, everything is centered around food. And Gina from my office actually sent me a WhatsApp, which I thought was quite funny, with our relationship of food and wine. Somebody had posted, it says, I don't drink wine all the time, only when I'm happy or stressed, relaxing alone or with friends, when I'm busy or being lazy, while I cook or with a book, but not all the time. And I guess that applies to eating too. It applies to food, junk food, snack foods. Not too many of us reach for the carrots when we're feeling like we're wanting a snack. What do you think? How do you think what's going on currently, modern lifestyle, how does it impact on our happiness and our joy and our ability to cope in life? What do you think?
Absolutely. I think, as I mentioned, we know that with modern life, we end up really sacrificing thoroughness or quality for convenience. And that is happening not just in the way that we eat, but certainly in the way that we live. So we compromise on sleep. We compromise on proper rest. We compromise on connecting with loved ones. We compromise on exercise and moving and breathing correctly. And of course, we compromise on how we eat.
Yes.
And all these things together are causing what we're seeing today. I mean, there's the tsunami that is hitting South Africa. If we take a look at healthcare, we're in a crisis. So many of us are sick. We have lifestyle diseases, things like hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, and depression.
Yes.
So we're not happy. It's very hard to be happy when you're physically not feeling well. And those conditions are directly related to how we eat, how we move, how we think and behave. So absolutely, our modern lifestyles are having a direct impact on our behaviors.
And one of the things which I always say actually is a happiness hack, but it's sleep. And you just mentioned it. Arianna Huffington, in her book called Thrive, speaks about how she was living on absolutely no sleep. And you know, that drive to do more, to succeed, to be better, always results in us thinking, well, we need less sleep. And when we don't have sleep, sleep, we also make bad food choices.
Absolutely.
The first thing you do when you're tired.
And you know why? Shireen, one of the things that happens when you don't get enough sleep, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. The one thing is your metabolism is not as effective, and you also produce a hormone called ghrelin.
Sounds like a gremlin.
Exactly. And if you think about gremlins, what do? They just munch on everything. They eat, 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 eat. So when you are not sleeping enough, you wake up feeling like you are a gremlin and all you want to do is eat. So getting enough sleep will help you to eat better, to feel better. And I mean, all the research is showing for so many reasons, to think creatively, to focus, to manage stress and resilience, to have a strong immune system. We need to be getting more rest. So in our book that I wrote with Joni Pedi, a human behaviorist who's very interested in happiness and how to manage happiness in a stressful lifestyle, we actually teach people how to take power naps. Because there's also some research showing that if you really can't get the 7 to 8 hours of sleep that most of us need, the one thing you can try incorporate, even if you're incredibly busy, you need between 8 and 15 minutes to be able to have a power nap.
And they say that that completely revitalizes and re-energizes
yes.
you. It's kind of also a bit like being mindful. You know, if you just take 5 minutes of yes. mindfulness, just sitting and focusing and going inwards and breathing, that can
Absolutely.
Also have a very similar effect.
And Shireen, I think what I see a lot with the clients that I work with is that we are tired, and when we are tired or dehydrated, we end up looking for a snack. So we want to create that mouth entertainment, or we go and just look for something to shift an emotion, when really maybe we just needed to move because
yes.
we sit for too long. And I think in Arianna Huffington's book Thrive, she also speaks about sitting is the new smoking, and we need to change
yes.
how organizations are. We can't be sitting as long as we do. So we talk about activating every hour. So you should be moving around for 5 minutes every hour. End of story. Non-negotiable. If you want to be creative and concentrate and manage your energy, you need to be moving. You can't sit for longer than that.
I was actually at a conference last year in Atlanta, and there was a journalist there, and they've done some research saying actually sitting at a desk is a mental decapitator.
Yes.
It switches off certain parts of the brain that actually allows to focus and function. But now, just another question, you know, in terms of food and happiness, because obviously my passion is happiness, making people happy, mm. and obviously all these tips all aid to us and add to us feeling better. But what about the relationship that we have where food does make us happy, where we're in a family or we're with friends and we're ordering food and we're in a restaurant? How does that impact? Because that's an awesome thing, you know, eating food and happiness are
yes.
so connected, and that's one of the things that really can get our minds off the reality
yes.
of life.
Well, I'm French by heritage. So I was brought up, my family are based in Champagne. I mean, how lucky am I?
That is very lucky.
So I've Champagne. Been brought up in a context where a bubbly and red wine and good food is integral to life. It's a non-negotiable. And what we know about the European and certainly the Mediterranean approach to food, so the Spanish, the French, the Greeks, they display what we call the pleasure principle. So when they eat, it's incredibly pleasurable. So they focus more on the quality of what they're choosing as opposed to the quantity. Sadly, though, here at home in South Africa, we are not doing that. We tend to eat mindlessly. So we eat when we're on the run. We're not focused. We don't spend time preparing food. It's about quick convenience, drive-throughs, takeaways. Sure, we're with families in restaurants, but it's almost like we're not enjoying the meals and everything is rushed. So I think bringing back that pleasure principle is important. So to delight in food and good food, to take time to prepare it. And as parents, I think it's a responsibility that we have to our children. There are children.
But if you go and look at a restaurant today and see how many people are stuck on their cell phones all at a table with each other.
And
I always say when I speak, you know, people are sitting talking to other people who aren't there while they're with other people. And if those people had to arrive, they would start speaking to other people. So I guess it goes back to being mindful again, actually being present and being in the moment. That also is a huge contributor to happiness. It's one of my top 10 happiness hacks is actually being in the moment.
Absolutely.
With whatever it is you're doing, you know, it's
and especially
actually
food.
Stopping.
Especially
but,
food.
But food especially. We
yeah.
eat standing up. We eat at our desks.
Because how many of us, you know, we grab a sandwich on the go, then we answer an email, we make a phone call, we finish off a proposal, and then we reach for the rest of the sandwich. And it's like, gone. And then we like look around the office, you know, as if somebody came up to your desk and grabbed your sandwich.
Yes. And where did it even go?
And that's what I call snack amnesia. So when you don't delight or eat mindfully, you can forget that you eat and then you're going to want more.
Now, tell me something. I've read that bananas are the new power superfood. Everybody's talking about bananas at the moment. How can a banana change my biochemistry to make me happy when I'm not? Because that's a great snack.
Absolutely.
For on the go.
I think bananas rock. They really are a great, very versatile fruit. What's particularly good about bananas is that they contain some potassium and some magnesium, and they've got an intermediate releasing fruit sugar. So when you eat a banana, it's going to give you a bit of that lift. It's going to push up your blood glucose, and then you've got some of the minerals that are involved in the chemistry of happiness. So bananas are a great way to do that.
And another thing which a friend of mine says she keeps in her car all day and snacks on, although I'm not sure it's good for the waistline, but it's almonds.
No, almonds are great. A handful of almonds give you some zinc, also some minerals, some omega-3, a little bit of protein. I often have a piece of fresh fruit, like a banana, with a handful of nuts, like almonds.
Yeah.
The key there is the handful. So you don't want to buy half a kilogram Ziploc packet
and
of almonds, and then as you're cruising down William Nickel or wherever you may be, you end up finishing that. Because then sure, it's too much. But when you start eating proper foods, like fresh fruit and nuts are proper wholesome foods. They're unprocessed. They don't come with a label. We don't have to worry about hidden ingredients like funny sugars. And if you eat mindfully, you'll find a banana and a handful of nuts is what I call a strategic snack. That's going to keep you going for another 2 hours and help your brain to fire on all cylinders.
Well, absolutely, because we really need that. We need to be powerfully performing at the moment. We need to be on top of our game, because what I'm certainly seeing in the corporate work that I do is so many people are scrambling. They're struggling. They're not coping
with
the everyday chores of life. You know, we're really faced with, we're living in a time where there's just so much to deal with. Even kids today are having to deal with a huge amount of pressure.
Well, the average onset of depression used to be, I think, 29 and a half years old, according to some research from Sean Anker, who wrote the book The Happiness Advantage.
Yes.
And now it's as low as 14 years. So we are definitely seeing people are giving up their health and happiness for wealth. But no amount of wealth can ever buy back health or happiness.
Absolutely.
We have to leverage
the two. Obviously, we're in a very competitive world. And I see I've got three kids and teenage boys.
It's tough.
And, you know, when I was in matric many years ago, you kind of heard of one or two or maybe even six people got distinction, or a full house of distinctions, and they made the front page of the newspaper. And when you look today, there are just hundreds of kids that are doing it because the pressure to succeed, to be your best, to excel, and that really has an impact on our happiness. I was reading some stats about Harvard students, and the scary thing is I think over 60% of Harvard learners are suffering from depression. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
You would think, yeah, I've got everything that makes me happy. I've got money, because usually if you're at Harvard, you've got some kind of money, social status.
Education.
I'm going to be getting one of the best educations on the planet, and I'm not happy. Because it's kind of like, you know, when I get to that goal, when I reach that point, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be happy. When I'm married, then I'll be happy. Mm-hmm. When it's the weekend, then I'll be happy. I kind of always say, on a Friday, we often say, when it's the weekend, I'm going to be so happy, yay. And then on Saturday morning, do we wake up happy? Not really.
No.
We wake up the same way, except maybe a bit later, but we wake up the same way that we did on Friday.
Yeah, and I think the focus for me, and because there's different angles in terms of happiness. I mean, I love the work that you do, for instance. But I feel very strongly that today, if you manage your energy, that's one of the first ways to feel happier, because it's kind of hard to be chirpy when your energy is like rock bottom.
Yeah.
And also, if you look at your resilience and your health, because when we don't have health, we don't really have much.
No, we don't have much. And we take it so for granted.
We do, until something goes wrong.
Until you have that throbbing thumb and you can't use your hand. And you kind of go, oh my gosh, anything would be better than this throbbing thumb. You don't realize how much you use that thumb. Or, you know, I often say you take your eyes for granted. Imagine just close your eyes for a moment and imagine you could never open them again. But when we think of gratitude or the things that make us happy, we never think, oh my goodness, I can see. So being a laughter and happiness professor, one of the things that I really focus on is the use of laughter as a de-stress and resilience mechanism. And I often say, you know, if you think of the human body, we have eyes for a reason. We have a nose for a reason. We have a mouth for a reason. We have a heart for a reason. We have lungs for a reason. Why do we have laughter? And now think about this. We don't use our mouth, our ears, our nose, and our eyes when we're in the mood or when we feel like it. We generally use it all the time. And so one of the other happiness hacks is definitely use laughter as a resilience skill and combine it with food. Laughter and happiness is always good.
I think if we burst into laughter before we ate meals, chances are we'd eat less because we'd have that rush of endorphins from the laughter.
Yes.
And we'd be more present and mindful and our body would feel energized. I think we should do that. I think we should all try and laugh before we have lunch today.
I think that would be a great idea. I often say when I do functions that corporates need to have less alcohol around after I've done a laughter session because people just have all this serotonin and endorphins rushing around their bodies that they feel great.
And you've just mentioned alcohol is one of the things that we should be careful of because often when we're very stressed, we use it as a way to unwind, but actually alcohol is not something that makes you happy long term.
And coffee, right?
And too much caffeine can play havoc with your dopamine and your serotonin level. So it's, I've had a cappuccino today already. I love coffee.
You're one up on me.
But I'm very careful about using it or abusing it and having too much.
Okay.
And especially if caffeine can affect your sleep. You don't want to wake up tired because when you're tired, you're definitely not going to be feeling happy. You're going to be eating more, making not the best choices. So you want to be
careful. So what about the rush coffee gives me when I have it? That makes me feel good, but then what happens afterwards?
If you're somebody that's sensitive to the caffeine, you know, you'll feel that rush, but then absolutely, you could then also have that drop, which could leave you lower than what you were before.
So then you get the next coffee.
Yes. Yeah. So you want to be careful about having just back-to-back cups of coffee throughout the day. It's not a good way to spend your day.
Now, for the listeners out there, this is cliffcentral.com, and if you want to contact us, you can call us on 0861-555-189. You can get us on Twitter at cliffcentral.com or Facebook Cliff Central, and you can send messages on WeChat at Cliff Central. One of the things I asked you, Celine, before you came is the show is about wit, wisdom, and wonderful food. What would be your happiness recipe that the average person with not a very big budget could make daily that could change their energy, change their mood?
I think something that can help us skip out the front door at the start of every day is to make sure that we have a good breakfast. Because you never know what's going to happen the rest of the day. I mean, you can get caught in traffic. You can have a meeting that runs late. You can have a crisis to deal with. A child can be sick. But somehow there's power in the morning that can help us set our tone. So what I do is...
So to interrupt you, what about those people who use every last second and head out the door 5 minutes late? What can they do to take on the run? Is there something they can prepare the night before? Is there something
there is. I mean, there's many ideas. So on our blog, there's lots of ideas. But one idea that I would say is a power smoothie. So happiness to go in a glass. A smoothie where you use banana. We've spoken about banana.
Yes.
Maybe some almonds. If you can't afford almonds, you can leave those out.
Yeah.
Maybe some berries. Yeah. And then some plain yogurt so that you've got some tryptophan coming from the yogurts. You've got the glucose. And together, that's a power combination. You can whiz that up in 2 minutes. Take that in a large container with you out the front door. I think that's a great way to start your day on a happy footing.
That sounds yum. Can we add peanut butter? Or is
you
that
can.
A no-no?
No, you can. Just choose the sugar-free peanut butter.
The sugar-free peanut butter. The peanut butter with the sugar is always the one that, you know, everybody reaches for. The caramel flavors, the choc chip flavors.
No, you don't want to do that.
But you don't want to do that. So what if I want something like that? Does chocolate make me happy? You know,
well, what chocolate does is the feeling of happiness comes from various places, but on a chemical level, there's a hormone that you mentioned, serotonin, which is our happy neurotransmitter or brain chemical. And to make serotonin, your body needs some glucose and it needs an amino acid called tryptophan. And tryptophan is found in a couple of foods, but in large amounts in milk or yogurt. So when you have chocolate, if we think of that one brand of chocolate that speaks about a glass and a half of milk. So there's a lot of milk and there's a lot of sugar. So you've got the two perfect ingredients that boost your serotonin, but you've also got a lot of fat. It's not the most healthy sugar.
Yes.
It's quite addictive. It's hard to just stop at a block. You end up having a slab. So you don't want to always rely on chocolate to make you happy. But if you understand that chemistry, you can Start having, let's say, the right kind of breakfast in the morning that includes yogurt with fruit. So you've got that's very similar effect to having a chocolate.
Yeah.
You have the right snacks like a banana and maybe a handful of almonds in the afternoon. So throughout the day, you support your chemistry. And that makes it easier.
That's very powerful. Now, we've spoken a lot about all the chemicals and all the biochemistry in the body and how that works. But what are your happiness tips? What do you do in a day when your energy is feeling bad? What do you do? How do you make yourself feel happy?
Well, for me, Shireen, I myself and Joni Petty have just recently launched a book, which is under the Fab Quotient banner. And I've been working with Joni for 8 years. I've been doing professional workshops in health and wellness and resilience space for 15 years. And the FAB quotient is very powerful for me. And the FAB stands for Feel, Activate, and Behave. So feel is how you feed yourself. So that is incredibly important. I try and make the right choices most of the time. Not all the time. 80% of the time is perfect. I think we try and do too much at once.
Yes.
Then the second, activate, is I try and move. I move for 5 minutes every hour because I know that I can't always get to the gym. I can't always go for a 1 hour run.
And tell me when you move, what do you do?
So I will get up off my chair and I might just do basic stretches. If my phone rings, I stand up and I might lift with one leg as I'm chatting. I'll always try and get fresh air if I can. So I'll take a brisk 2 minute walk outdoors and then back again.
Mm-hmm.
If I have access to a flight of stairs, I'll go up and down a few flights of stairs. And then
that sounds very energetic.
It's easy. It's amazing what it does. You actually, after an hour, you start feeling itchy, like you need to get up and move. And then the behavior of the FAB quotient is about understanding yourself and playing to your strengths and living an authentic life and collaborating powerfully with others. Because you can eat well, you can exercise a lot, but if you don't manage your relationships, you're not going to feel happy.
Mm.
So for me, it's those three things. And every day I ask myself, how did I feel today? How did I activate? And how did I behave? What was my FAB quotient? Because just like IQ and EQ is important, we need FABQ.
Okay, thank you so much. We're going to come right back and we're going to take a short break with a happy song.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye-Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold. Which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye-Gold, we are one.
Flying fish now has even more flavor.
Wow! More flavor!
Huh?
Hey!
What ya doing?
Bring even more flavor!
All right! Introducing new chilled green apple.
Chilled green apple!
It's a beer with all the bitterness brewed out and green apple flavor brewed in.
I said the flavor's brewed in.
Go on, add some flavor.
Don't mind if I do. Ah!
Enjoy responsibly. Not for sale to persons under the age of 18.
CliffCentral.com.
Bring me down, can't.
It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.
And welcome back. You're with Shireen Richter, and this is the Happy Hour. I'm a laughter and happiness professor, and the Happy Hour is all around getting your happy on. We're in studio with Celine Erasmus, a dietitian and author, speaker, and author of a book called The Fab Quotient. And we're looking at how to be resilient, how to kick stress in the butt, how to cope in challenging times, and how to find our happiness. So we're going to, if you want to email us, message us, you can find us on cliffcentral.com, call us on 0861 555 189, tweet at cliffcentral.com, Facebook Cliff Central, and message us on Cliff Central. Now, Celine, we've been talking a lot about food and about the chemicals and about how they get released in the body, the biochemistry, what happens to us, how to get more energy. And you've shared with us your amazing smoothie recipe, which is really simple and easy. But now maybe let's look at Celine. Celine, the real Celine. Who is the real Celine? And how did you get involved in food and this different take that you have on food? Because there are many dietitians, but your take is really different. Your take is refreshing and new, and you're helping people be resilient, which is exactly what we want.
Yeah, I am in a very good, happy space, and delighted that I did choose the career that I did. And I think, as with many of my colleagues, dietitians, we generally get drawn into that career because you want to help people, and there's some kind of relationship with food. So I know, well, being French, I was always brought up in a context of lots of good tasting food and enjoying meal times. And I also, as a teenager, though, perhaps didn't have a very healthy relationship with food. You know, as a lot of young ladies do, we get quite worried about our bodies, and then we start using food negatively in a way to try and manage weight.
Well, and I've been on diet since I was born. I always say, yes, we always have a relationship with food, and that's one of my problems. And I've really been on diet since I was born.
So I was really drawn to food, and then I remember looking through the medical university because I thought I wanted to study medicine and be a doctor. And when I came across dietetics as part of a medical degree, I was like, wow, you can make people healthier and better and help them lose weight, sure, with food. It just felt like an absolute perfect fit. And so I studied dietetics. I went into private practice, but I was not as happy as I thought I should be. And then over a decade ago, I had an opportunity to run some programs with various corporates. And now that's what I do, is I go into organizations. I've got a team of people that I work with that are, sure, make me a very happy person. And we help people fight fatigue and manage resilience by using the Fab Quotient and other tools.
Now, a question. People always ask me, being a laughter and happiness professor, are you happy all the time? And I guess it's quite a big question, because you're supposed to live your brand. And are you happy all the time? Well, it's not really possible to be happy all the time, because life happens. So it's hard to live your brand and do what you do and bring it home and be part of it, because we want to be authentic in what we do. How hard is it for you to live what you do? Do you have binges? Do you have a good relationship with food? Has it taken you time to get to this happy place that you have?
Well, I absolutely live by the 80-20 principle. So I don't believe in doing nothing and then doing everything at once. And I think a lot of us do that. We set ourselves up for failure. Like, we start on a Monday morning and decide that's it. We're going to drink water, no more alcohol, get to the gym. And then, of course, what happens? By Tuesday, life happens. You know, somebody arrives at the office, I don't know, with cake. Or you get stuck in a traffic jam, and then that doesn't work out. And then we end up, oh, you know what? I'm just going to chill out, enjoy the sport, braai with the family this weekend, and I'll start again on Monday. And we just
becomes the dreaded, dreaded Monday.
And that's not happiness, that's deprivation and denial. So,
and then we get upset with ourselves because we almost feel like a failure because we can't stick to the diet.
So what we do is we encourage individuals to, every day is a new start. It's an opportunity to wake up and say, so what? Yesterday did not go as planned. I can carry on today. I can fuel, I can activate, I can look at how I behave and choose to be happy. So I do that. I use the 80-20 principle.
I love that. And I think one of my happiness hacks, which is really important, is actually just be kind to yourself. And I think that is really, especially with our relationship with food, but with anything, because if anyone spoke to you the way you speak to you, you would never speak to them again.
That is so true.
And I think we're very hard on ourselves. So kind of
we are.
Being a bit more gentle is really a step to being happy. You know, we're all going to fail. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to grab that piece of chocolate. But it's maybe about having one piece of chocolate, not all of it, and then going, well, it's okay. It was just one.
Yes, and when you choose chocolate, to choose the best chocolate you can afford, the best quality, and to actually be mindful. Like, don't answer the phone. Don't be driving. Like, sit and just
and enjoy it.
Really enjoy that chocolate for what it is.
Yeah, we don't do that. I don't think many of us really enjoy our food.
It's true. Just we eat.
Take that time and be mindful. You know, one of my other happiness hacks is observe more carefully. Just observe what you're doing. Finding the meaning that's right in front of you. And that goes with food. It goes with relationships. It goes with places around you. We drive in our car. You spoke about not even noticing where your sandwich went. How many of us drive to work and we get there, we don't even know how we got there. Mm. We drive in the car, we can't even remember the route we took.
Yeah.
When we finally did arrive, we're not mindful. We're not paying attention and just paying attention to things. So noticing the trees, noticing the beautiful warm weather, the sun on your arms, that in itself actually takes you into the present moment and removes stress.
I have a colleague, Helen Nicholson. We run some workshops together. The one exercise that we've done together is you give the participants a raisin, one
yes.
single raisin, and then they have to taste the look at the raisin, first describe it, try and identify the color and the texture, then put it in their mouths and then taste it and suck it.
You're making me want a raisin.
There we go. And generally, I would say more than half of the group always say to us, wow, like we will never taste a raisin in the same way again. Imagine we did that with every mouthful of food.
That's powerful.
I think a lot of us would eat less and we would really enjoy our food a lot more.
Absolutely, because we kind of pile our plates, especially if you go somewhere where there's a buffet or there's a big choice and you see people piling food onto mm-hmm. their plates and it all gets mixed up with everything else. You kind of don't even really get the opportunity to taste everything. I went to a function, had the most unbelievable food sensation, actually. It was like a meringue that was cut in half, not a meringue, what's it called? It looks like a hamburger. And it's made with sugar.
Donut.
No. Anyway, and inside this thing was cream cheese and smoked salmon and pepper. And you had this unbelievable taste sensation of crunching into the meringue-y, sweet, sticky, with the sour of the cream cheese and the saltiness of the salmon. And it actually stopped me. And that's what made me realize. I just stopped for a moment and was like, oh, this taste, you couldn't not, because it was such an unusual taste sensation. But you're right. If you actually took your normal everyday food, your sandwich or salad, crunching on that carrot, could you have that same feeling, that same taste sensation?
I think we could, because we know that imagination is far more powerful than reality. So if you just close your eyes and imagine biting into a lemon.
Macaroon, sorry to interrupt. Oh. Someone's just messaged me, macaroon, that's it.
Macaroon's one of my favorite
blank.
Foods. That is something the French do well as well.
Macaroons, absolutely.
But if you just imagine biting into a lemon, a fresh lemon, do you know that you will actually start to salivate and you might actually scrunch your face up as if you had just had a burst of that bitter or acidic flavor? So imagination is very powerful.
Very powerful. What's the big thing with lemon water in the morning? It's all over Facebook. I'm reading it everywhere, so I've started drinking lemon water in the morning.
I have the opportunity to say this, and I think lemon water does not dissolve fat. But lemon water makes it easier to drink more water, which is a great thing. I think a lot of us are not properly hydrated, and we end up then snacking and feeling a bit tired.
And tell me something, what about the whole theory of drinking it because it flushes out your system in the morning?
No, look, it's good, especially lukewarm water with a bit of maybe ginger and lemon can be good for your digestive system. It can activate your liver. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's far better than just having a big, strong coffee first thing in the morning.
No, I don't know if I agree with you, but we've just had a question. Somebody wrote in, Nathan, that very interesting outlook on happiness and food, but why can't I be happy when I'm hungry? So what happens to our happiness when we get hungry? I actually, my middle son, when he was young, used to have absolute tantrums, and I didn't realize that he was hungry. And it took a while for me to actually put the two together, but we would go to the shops and I would find him, you know, in Sandton City, and he would be lying on the floor, literally kicking his legs in the air and screaming because he was so hungry. Why?
Okay, so there's perhaps two points to the question. So Nathan, I think he's saying, well, you can be happy and hungry. I mean, I know this myself. I think a lot of us tend to, we're not happy in life. And so we feed ourselves for various reasons. And absolutely, you don't have to be eating to be happy and joyful. The other thing is when you don't manage your blood sugar levels effectively, when your blood sugar drops, it activates a part of your brain called the amygdala. That is the reptilian part of our brain. Martha Beck, who's a great life coach, says that that is your lizard. If you don't eat correctly and your blood sugar drops, you activate your lizard and it puts you into that whole stress response. So you go into fight, flight or freeze. It can make you throw a tantrum. You can become aggressive. I know with me, if I haven't eaten for hours and I'm feeling stressed out that day, I lose my sense of humor. There's no ways that I'm happy and all I can focus on is getting food. So it overrides. I always talk about how the lizard can override or hijack your wizard. So the wizard is the front of the brain, the prefrontal cortex. That's where we have the ability to problem solve, to think creatively, to short-term memory, to just remember and be able to focus and pay attention. And that switches off when your lizard is in hijack mode.
So the lizard is the fight or flight, is that right?
Yes. So we've got to be careful about that.
That just needs food.
Because some of us, I have clients who say, oh, Celine, I'm fine. I just have a couple of cups of coffee. I don't get hungry. But we've got to look beyond just hunger as a trigger for happiness. So perhaps there's some chemical things happening in your body and your brain that you don't realize. And it's not because you're not hungry.
Well, I agree. I mean, happiness definitely, when you've got millions of people in the world starving, that definitely has to impact on happiness. But what I also do believe, and this is one of the theories that I teach, is that being happy is a choice. So no matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstance, and you see this in India, you see this in some very, very poor places around the world, you in fact even see it here. You do have happy people who do not have an abundance of material wealth, and they still can be happy. So happiness is a choice, and I do believe that the first step in getting it is to choose it. But it is hard when you've got rumbling going on in your tummy and you haven't eaten.
It's true, but it also makes me think of a proverb from the Bible that says, it's better to be with loved ones eating a bowl of vegetables than to be eating a lavish buffet amongst your enemies.
Oh, absolutely.
So absolutely that. No matter where you are and how much you have or don't have, the context of how you eat. And I mean, think about it. We eat three times a day, maybe a couple of snacks, but every minute that we're awake, we're thinking. So your thoughts are so important.
Your thoughts are very important, and your thoughts actually can either positively or negatively impact your happiness. And one of the cool things about laughter, and my business is called Laughter Coaching, and that's I really teach people resilience skills, how to laugh and how to not think. Because here's the thing, you can't laugh and think at the same time. Mm. And when we're thinking, there's stuff going on. When we're thinking, there's two ways the thinking goes. So either when we think backwards in time, that's when we have recrimination, that's when we have self-doubt, that's when we get depressed because we're unhappy about what's happened. And then anxiety steps in when we start thinking about tomorrow or the next hour or what's going to happen in a week or a month from now. So the key is, yes, we do need to use the brain and direct our thoughts because we actually can change our brain through our mind. Did you know that? Very interesting.
Change our brain through our mind.
So yes. Through our thoughts and what we think, by actually taking control of our thoughts, we can actually change the way our neural pathways connect, and we can actually change where the brain actually grows and doesn't, because our brain is a muscle. So when you exercise a certain muscle, then what happens to that muscle gets stronger. And so you actually have thickening of the cortex by focusing your attention on certain areas. And so laughter is a very powerful tool to be happy because we can't think and laugh at the same time.
And it's an established fact that happier, more joyful, content, grateful people live longer lives with less disability. So they actually are healthier.
Well, that's just why we both look so good, Celine. Well, maybe we should do a little bit of laughter and bring some lightness into the show with the listeners.
Yes, but then the listeners need to do this too. We're not going to do this just the
two
of us.
So we have to do it, and you have to do it with us too. Okay, the more we have, the better, because laughter is actually part of our DNA. And when we laugh, it actually creates a biological and physiological physiological release in the brain. And so let's give everybody some happy drugs. I always say it's an unbelievable tool to just release happy chemicals that are free, legal, and you can have them anytime just by feeling good and without that piece of chocolate or that cup of coffee or that glass of red wine. So maybe let's come up with an unusual laughter exercise, like some sort of food exercise or drinking. What would be a healthier drink? A smoothie drink.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do a smoothie drink. It's very simple. We pick up our glass so we can do this together. Now, the concept of using laughter to shut the mind off and to get rid of our thoughts and be happy is that we fake it. So there's really nothing to it. I don't tell a joke. There's no tricks. We just laugh. And because the human brain is programmed to laugh, the more we do it, the louder we do it. The harder we laugh, the more drugs we get. And it becomes contagious. So even listening to this crazy thing that we're going to be doing, will create spontaneous laughter by listeners, even if it just brings a smile. Even smiling gets a release of chemicals going. So on the count of three, if everybody could just lift up their smoothie cups, put it to your lips, and as you put it to your lips, this is going to be the happiest smoothie that you've ever had, going to make you feel the best that any drink ever has. We're just going to laugh quite loudly. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, let's go. So once you get going, it's pretty hard to even stop. But the thing with laughter is that it just changes your energy immediately, changes the way you feel, hopefully just like that smoothie. And when you make that recipe, just give us that recipe one more time.
Oh, the happy smoothie.
Use
some banana berries,
yeah,
a handful of nuts like almonds or walnuts, and some plain yogurt.
Okay, so when you make your smoothie in the morning, people, take that smoothie, put it to your mouth, and before you drink it, have one huge big laugh. If your family thinks you're mad, that's okay, because I always say, which is more mad, being miserable and serious or being happy?
Absolutely.
Now, if you want to get hold of us, please call us on 0861 555 189. Send us your tweets at cliffcentral.com, on Facebook, Cliff Central, and send us messages to Cliff Central on WeChat. Oh my goodness, that feels good. I already feel happier. Takes away stress.
Definitely. It feels like you can release your cortisol levels, which is, I think, something that all of us can benefit from.
Well, that's huge. You know, cortisol is one of your stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline, that we get in fight or flight mode. And we really are in fight or flight mode most of the time. I always speak about cavemen. And, you know, cavemen went out into the jungle to get food. And when they saw a lion, they panicked and they ran. And we got into fight or flight mode and the brain released all these hormones to protect us. Heart rate went up. We started breathing short, shallow breaths, and then when finally we were safe, everything went back to normal. But today we're living in fight or flight mode all the time.
I mean, what
traffic.
If your boss could be the lion and you can't exactly run away?
You can't. No. We can't run away. What about traffic?
Another big one, and just stresses of life. So being able to release cortisol through exercise,
yes,
and through laughter, I think is so important.
Are there foods that help us release cortisol?
Not directly, but indirectly. When we eat correctly, we do lower inflammation in the body, which then lowers cortisol and promotes healthier living for longer. So it reduces aging. So yes, absolutely. Indirectly, a balanced diet helps.
So I have something on laughter coaching. I have a happiness toolkit. And when I do training in corporates, we actually leave people with something called happy pills. Now, the truth is it's pills for a happy heart, and really all there are peppermints. And the idea is to have a trigger, a physical trigger,
yes,
that can make us happy. So you pop the pill in your mouth. It's really a peppermint. You chew it. You smile while you're doing it. You put yourself into an imaginary space where you visualize feeling good and feeling happy. What is your recipe for a happy pill? Is there a happy pill?
I think.
And are there, or are there even vitamins? You know, you go to a pharmacy and there's loads of stuff. How do you know what to choose?
Oh, and that's a whole different conversation.
Completely.
I think it's much better to, if you feel that you really do need help in terms of a pill to help you with happiness and a mood and your mood, Definitely speak to a health professional, speak to your dietitian. See how much you can do naturally through your diet. So how you can manipulate a few foods and the timing of when you eat and reducing things like too much alcohol, for instance, or caffeine. And then if you do need supplements, definitely speak to, the best thing to do is to see a dietitian so that you know that you're doing it correctly. Because just because there's so much on the shelves does not mean that they're all safe.
Absolutely. And I find myself sometimes walking down the aisles and there's so much and everything looks great and it all looks like it's going to help. And you want to fill your trolley with everything that's there trying to get your fix. So yeah, we do need to be careful of that.
Yeah, and I feel very strongly that it's a combination of different things. So yes, food is important. It's also about movement and sleep. And then it's also about managing your internal state, so your relationships. And that's why, for me, the FAB quotient is just a very practical framework. And I use it in my day-to-day life, and it really helps.
Sounds amazing. So, Celine, if anyone wants to get hold of you, how do they do that? If they want a copy of your book?
I think the best thing would be to go to our website. Our details are there. You can drop in your email of choice and then we'll be in touch with you and offer you a weekly FAB tip. That the website is www.resilientenergycenter.com.
And I'm sure you've got a Twitter handle.
And center, by the way, is spelled T-E-R, the American way. So I'll repeat that, Resilient Energy Center. And I think the best thing to do is just to tweet and use my handle, which is @Celine, not spelled like Celine Dion. That would have made my life very easy. But it's spelled C-E-L-Y-N-N. C-E-L-Y-N-N.
Very French.
Ah, mais oui, bien
mais
sûr.
Oui. So before we end, being a laughter and happiness professor, what I do is go into corporates and teach people how to kick stress in the butt, be resilient, and help individuals, because when individuals feel happy on any level, they can be more powerfully performing. They will be better in all aspects of their life. I often say, if you feel happier, you'll make better food choices. If you're feeling better inside and you feel like life's okay, well, then your relationships are going to look better. You're going to get on better with your coworkers. You're going to work better as a team. You're going to be a better mom or a dad or a daughter or whatever role you have to fill. And some of the happiness hacks which we've discussed, but one of them is smile more often. And I do think that smiling when you eat is a great thing, because, you know, as you smile, so it sends a message to the brain to say, I'm feeling good. And we want to associate food with feeling good and not feeling bad, because when we feel bad, that's when we generally make the wrong choices and we're filling that gap. And rather to say, I'm feeling good, so I'm smiling and I'm enjoying this, and this is a positive thing and it's releasing positive chemicals. So smiling more often is one, and smiling at others is huge. You can't smile at somebody and not get a smile back. It just opens a heart space, and that's very powerful. These things that we've spoken about today really don't cost much money.
No, they're things that you can do straight away without having to go buy anything.
You can just implement them in your own life. One of the things is interrupt less frequently. That's a powerful hack. How many times do we have a conversation on radio? It's much more difficult. You've got to keep quiet while the other person's speaking. So you have to pay more attention. But how often does it happen where we're having a conversation and we're not really listening? All we're doing is trying to wait for that gap so we can jump in and say what we want to say.
It's true. I call that ATM, when you become an automatic telling machine.
Oh, so I love that.
As people, you're welcome to take it.
ATM, thank you.
So as people, and it's true, if we smiled more and if we genuinely were present and in the moment when we engaged with others, I think all of us would be able to feel a higher sense of happiness. And for me, from the food side, I think I'd like to really encourage the listeners out there to become mindful munchers. So whenever you're munching, be it a meal, a breakfast, a smoothie, or a snack, is to be mindful. And maybe also just display a little bit of gratitude. So as Nathan, the listener that sent through the message around being hungry and happy, whenever you take a bite of anything or a sip of anything, you need to be grateful for that. So experiencing gratitude, we know, can help you feel happier. And if you're more mindful when you eat, I think we'll listen to our bodies and make better choices. And ultimately, that will serve us well.
I think being mindful and also almost blessing our food, because the food gives us energy, it fills us, it makes us feel good. And there was an experiment done about 5 or 8 years ago by a Japanese doctor where he actually
Dr. Masato.
That's right. He actually filled 2 bottles of water. One, he put a beautiful message saying love, I love you, or love,
joy, happiness.
And the other one was I hate you. And they actually measured those two bottles of water a month later and tested the quality of the water. And what they found was the water that had all the beautiful love blessings and messages had formed into perfect water crystals. Mm. And the one that had the messages of hate and negativity actually almost started to get algae and changed shape. And I think that's true for so much of what we do. If we bless our food, if we're grateful for our food, if we feel love or happiness towards that food for its nourishment that it's going to give us, it actually will have a different chemical reaction in the body.
We will eat and live ourselves happier.
So to end off, thank you so much, Celine.
Thank you.
Really a pleasure and honor to have you. You really look your part. You look like the happy dietitian.
You're going to make me laugh now.
You look young, you look dynamic, and I would advise listeners to just go and Google, get the Fab Quotient, read your blogs and get some more info. If anybody wants to know how to be resilient, how to kick stress in the butt and how to be happier, they can go to my website, which is www.laughtercoaching.co.za. You can email me on info@laughtercoaching. We do happiness coaching, one-on-one coaching, individual corporate sessions, conferences, and amazing team builds and year-end functions. And Celine and I think would be a great combination to come
absolutely.
In and help you kick stress in the butt. So Celine, thank you again. And maybe we can end with one more laugh. So maybe we can have a traffic laugh, because everybody gets stressed in the traffic. So let's convert something that would make us stressed into something that can make us happy. Think about traffic as being a positive, as being time to yourself where nobody can bother you, nobody can bug you, and turn up your radio, put on your happy song, and let's do a farewell taxi goodbye laugh. So ready and let's go. Waving at the taxi, waving at the cars next to you, and let's get some happy on.
It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.